South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, is written for you.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStewart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Hebrews chapter 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm going to start reading with verse 1. Hebrews 3. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are bound for heaven, think about this Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. For he was faithful to God, who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully and was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses, just as a person who builds a fine house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but God is the one who made everything. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house, but only as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, the faithful Son, was in charge of the entire household. And we are God's household. If we keep up our courage and remain confident in our hope, that is why the Holy Spirit says, today, you must listen to His voice. Don't harden your hearts against Him as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested God's patience in the wilderness. There your ancestors tried my patience even though they saw my miracles for 30 years, 40 years. So I was angry with them and I said their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger I made a vow. They will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ, but never forget the warning. Today you must listen to His voice. Don't harden your hearts against Him, as Israel did when they rebelled. And who were those people who rebelled against God? Even though they heard His voice, weren't they the ones Moses led out of Egypt and who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when He vowed that they would never enter His rest? He was speaking to those who disobeyed Him. So we see that they were not allowed to enter His rest because of their unbelief. Let me pause right there. Actually, chapter 4 is going to continue with some of these topics. From the beginning, we have some names that are applied to who we are. And there have been many great teachings about who I am in Christ. Many scriptures that talk about who we are in Christ. This passage lists a few of those and sort of starts with that. In fact, if I could just point that out, in chapter 3, verse 1, it is addressed to brothers and sisters who belong to God. That tells you right there that this message is for godly people. These warnings about not forgetting and remembering and not allowing sin into our lives or the hardness of our hearts, this is all being given to brothers and sisters who belong to God and are bound for heaven. That's who you are in Christ. You are brothers and sisters, and you are on a journey to heaven. And it may not be that far off. I'll tell you, if the enemy had his plans, I believe the room would be vacated this morning. But God has kept us here because we're on assignment. And that's part of what Sharon's talking about. There's a mission, there's a cause, there's a work, there are opportunities, there are needs. And what Michael's talking about. And Michael was one of those kids. He was there. He knows what it is to be shuttled all over the place. Here's another. Knows what it is to be shuttled all over and used and abused and introduced to everything wicked and yet not really understanding what the love of God was all about. So dear brothers and sisters who belong to God, we are those who belong to God. We're bound for heaven. And then down in verse 6, and we are God's household. Now Moses, it talks about Moses in this chapter, and there isn't time to go into all the details, but the big picture is Moses was a tremendous instrument and servant in God's house. The law was given to him. We know a lot about Moses. We know 40 years. The first 40, he was being schooled in Egypt, right? Being trained to be a Pharaoh, actually. He was introduced to all the wisdom and knowledge of the land. And keep in mind that he was actually raised in his parents' home. And when you think about the story, his mother was actually paid to raise her own son. And so we know that even though Moses was in Pharaoh's house, Moses was being trained spiritually to know the God of his parents. And when the day came, he chose not to be the Pharaoh. He chose not to accept the wealth of Egypt. He chose to identify with the people of God. Then he took it in his hands. You remember, he murdered that man, and before long, Moses is back on the run. His first education lasted 40 years. Now he's in for the next 40. The next 40's in the desert. It's not quite as nice as it was in Pharaoh's palace. He's not pampered quite as much. He's in a whole different kind of school. Some have said he spent the first 40 years learning how the world does things. Then he spent 40 years learning how not to do things. But when the bush began to burn and God began to talk, Moses encounters the high calling and purpose in his life. He's 80 years old when he gets the call. 80 years old, and it's time to get started. I don't know how old you are. I know how old some of you are. But I'm talking about in God's call. Where are you in God's call? Where are you in God's house? What is the assignment that God has given you? Well, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, gives us the affirmation that Moses was faithful in God's house. But he was a servant. He was a steward. He didn't build the house. This passage is another one of those passages that says Jesus is highly exalted. The whole book of Hebrews. He's superior. That is coming as the Son of God. All the cults want to deny who Jesus is. The whole book of Hebrews exalts Jesus as God, as the Son of God, who always was, is, and always will be. And this passage for the Jewish mind who understood Moses was a call to understand that as great as Moses was no comparison to Jesus Christ. Jesus was the head of the whole household. He was the one who spoke the words and the Holy Spirit moved and everything happened. And so we see this comparison that starts out in the beginning of this chapter. But then we also see this recognition of who we are, and we spoke of that. That we are the children of God. We're brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. We are the household of faith. Not just us here, but believers all over the world that are in Christ are part of that household of faith. And God knows exactly who we are. We are God's household. And it does say that there are some things that we should take note of. It says that we must not tremble with fear. If you look into chapter 4, it starts out that way. That the good news is that God's promise of entering rest still stands, so we ought not tremble with fear that some of you might fail to get there. So, there is a rest that is in God. Now, don't go to sleep and don't get lost. Stay with me for a couple minutes. The Sabbath is called a day of rest. It's called a day of rest because after everything was created, God rested. So after working, after speaking, after creation, God rested on the seventh day. It's called a day of rest. Chapter 3 introduces us to this idea of rest. Someone the other day, maybe it was our brother Patrick, maybe I was talking to and said, "How are you doing?" And he said, "I'm sleeping, but I could use some more rest." Many of you understand the difference. I remember one evening I was in prayer and I said, "Father, please let me have deep sleep tonight." And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "It's not sleep that you need. You need to be rested. You need to be rested." Because it's possible to be asleep and not be rested at all, to live with anxiety and fear. It's possible to know about Jesus and to be in the church and to be restless. Restless. Some we would say, "Well, we need to give them some pills to calm them down." We didn't let them give RJ those pills. A relative called him the Taz. He's out of control. He's on top of things. He's under things. He's flipping things. He's taking things apart. He's doing all of this. He needs some medication. No, that's the way God made him. The way God made him. But sometimes what's going on in our flesh, was talking with someone that were talking about all of these children that they, in fact, it was the gentleman that called and left the message about listening every week to our program. He and his wife have been foster parents. They've taken care of, I don't know, something like 30, 40 kids. And they've adopted, I believe, five now. And they raised, I think, four or so of their own. But he talked about these babies that are addicted to drugs when they're born. He talked about one child they had that was in birth, from the time this child was birthed, was addicted. And this is because of the addictions of the parents. So here's a child, and I believe that they said, he said, for 4 to 5 weeks was out of control. Just screaming. A terrifying scream. Unable to be comforted. There was nothing that you could do to calm this child down. 5 weeks of terror this child experienced because of the addictions of its mother. Now let me tell you, every one of us have a past. If Satan could do it, he would cause you to be restless because of your past. He would desire to dig in the garbage. He would desire to dig in yesterday's memories and yesterday's failures and yesterday's sins and yesterday's strongholds. And he would love to make you restless on the inside, even as I'm speaking to you this morning. But there is a place of rest in God. Hebrews wants to bring us by truth and revelation to a place of steadfast faith where the restlessness of the devil cannot control us anymore. Last week, I shared with you a scripture, and because we're not going to get to go through much of the message today, I will go back and try to bring the beginning and the end together. But last week, we took note of this fact. Therefore, it was necessary, chapter 2, verse 17, it was necessary for Jesus in every respect like us to be just like us. His brothers and sisters, why? So he could be our merciful, say merciful, and faithful high priest. Merciful. Satan hates that word. Hell hates that word. Demons hate that word. Because mercy does not require anything on your part but to receive it. God is a merciful God. If he was not a merciful God, none of us could be saved. Because none of us have the merit to qualify for salvation. God is merciful. And so we see this, that he had to be in the flesh. He had to be born like us. He had to be tempted like us. He had to suffer like us so he could be our merciful and faithful high priest. Where? Before God. Before God. You've ever been to court and somebody was suing you? It doesn't hurt to have a good attorney. Sometimes we think, well, I'll just tell it. The truth is the truth. I remember a state's attorney telling me one day a pastor's son had been arrested. There was no truth to the charge. But the state's attorney said, the truth in this case isn't going to matter. Because, he said, there's a whole group of people that are going to stick together and tell the same story. They're all going to lie. So, Pastor, it's unfortunate that your son was at the wrong place at the wrong time. He is going to suffer, and the best thing he can do is to say, I accept whatever the charge is. Because there's no way to get out. I remember the pastor saying, well, can't we get a good attorney to fight this? He said, oh yes, you can spend as much money as you want to. But you're dealing with the good old boys now. And the good old boys have been ruling things and running things a long time, and you can get any attorney you want. It's not going to change anything, because even the judges who hear the case are already on the good old boy side. But let me tell you, you have an advocate and an intercessor that has gone before us, that has whipped up on the devil and broken his chains and exposed his lies and has stood up in our defense. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is our attorney at law. But the difference is, he actually gave his life and died for us that he might shed his blood and take it to the mercy seat, so that any accusation that comes up against you, not only is he able to stand in your defense, but he's able to say, the blood has already paid the fine. They are free. Peace. Peace. There is a place of peace in God. You could be listening today and you could say, well, from the time I was a child, I desired God. I always grew up believing in God. I always grew up having a sensitive heart. I always grew up wanting to obey God. And if that's the case, and that's the way you grew up, I applaud you. But let me tell you, that will not get you into heaven. As much as God would love you to be there, that will not get you into heaven. Unless you've acknowledged, I am a sinner and I need a Savior, you have no access to the kingdom of God. Because as good as you are, as good as you've been, you're not good enough. It takes the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So if you have been in a church that said you can live any way you want to live, think anything you want to think, do anything you want to do, and still make it to heaven, let me tell you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And you are on your way there in deception. But God would awaken your heart today, and God would say, but there's an advocate, there's an intercessor who gave his life for you. The peace. Since he himself, verse 18. Oh, I should back up. I got to back up. Every respect like us, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. We're just talking about that. He then could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world. Amen. Since he himself has gone through suffering and temptation, and last week this is what we talked about, he is able, we used to sing that, he is able to deliver thee. He's able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest, our God is able to deliver thee. Yes. He is able to help us when we are being tempted. Now, there's not time to go into all of this, but this passage, this chapter, and the next chapter that's talking about rest, and this chapter that talks about Israel not mixing faith with their actions, is about restlessness because of temptation. All of us are tempted. Remember what we looked at before? Being tempted, in fact, the more you're tempted, very possibly the closer you are to God. Jesus was tempted in every way. Like you are. You say, even this, even that, Even like Jonathan's been tempted? Yes. Even like Rachel's been tempted? Yes. Every manner, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted, did not sin. This whole area of temptation and confronting the devil and walking and living in victory is very important. And God wants for you to have rest in your soul. You lay down at night. You're able to go to sleep because you have rest. At rest in your mind. You're not trying to fix it. You're not trying to figure it all out. You're not trying to come up with some slick way to help God out. You've come to a place of settled, I'm going to bring another word in, peace. Peace. Doesn't mean there's not a storm. Doesn't mean you're not in a storm. Rest does not mean that you are not actively involved. You may be in the midst of warfare and still be at rest. You see, if you know who wins before you go into the battle, it makes the battle a whole lot easier. If when you get up in the morning, you understand, whatever happens to me today, I am a child of God, I am a brother and a sister, God is my Father, the Holy Spirit has filled me, the Word of God is occupying my mind, I'm going to walk in strength and victory today, whatever I face, at the end of this day, I'm going to be an overcomer. Because he has already fought and won the battle. And the enemy will say, yeah, but you've fallen before. Say, well, that was before, that's not today. Well, you've blown it before. Yes, yep, sure did. But I grew forward from there. I'm not as ignorant as I used to be. I'm not as vulnerable as I used to be. I don't volunteer for the devil's garbage as much as I used to, and I don't sign up for his deliveries. When I hear that beep, beep, beep of the garbage truck from hell, I say, oh, no way, my address is not available. Because the blood of Jesus has established a barrier, a wall that covers me. It's around me. It's around my house. It's around my boys. It's around this congregation. There is a peace for the people of God. There is a rest for the people of God. And this is the gift of God. Israel, the whole nation, with just a couple exceptions, did not enter into God's best. His rest or his best.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust.